The scripture reading this morning will be Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?'"
Appreciate Luke reading that scripture for us. Last week we discussed the purpose of prayer. This week, this morning, we're going to talk about the power of prayer. Luke read for us, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Jesus, in telling this parable, seems to anticipate that people would become slack in their prayers to God. We go back, and of course, Jesus living under the old law at the time, we can go back into to the Old Testament. We can see many of God's followers praying unto him. You remember David praying unto God. You remember many others, the prophets, Isaiah, Elijah, Elisha, all of these prophets praying unto God. And so we see the power of prayer through their examples. We're going to notice some other examples this morning found in the New Testament concerning the power of prayer. But we look here in this passage in Luke chapter 18, 1 through 7, Jesus telling the parable of the persistent widow that people might always pray. That's his purpose behind this parable. To continue to get them, or rather to get them to continue to pray. This widow, as we read here in Luke 18, goes to this judge. So much so that he begins to worry about it. Begins to wait for her, begins to look for her. And he says, "Why don't I just go ahead and do what she's asking me to do so I don't have to worry about her coming to me anymore?" And he gives that example for a reason. We ought to be persistent in our prayers. We ought to take things before God over and over and over and over and over again. Persistence pays off. If it paid off for someone like this widow with this unjust judge, how much more so will it pay off for us to be persistent with our Heavenly Father, who is the God of justice, who is a God that grants these things to men? He tells the parable for a reason. We ought always to pray. And we're going to continue this study of prayer for the next few weeks, and today with the power of prayer. Jesus in verse 8 says that he wonders if he would find faith on earth, or in other words, people praying when he returned. I hope that's the case. I hope that he'll find us watching. I hope that he'll find us praying when he returns. Paul frequently exhorted Christians to be diligent in their prayers. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication." Praying always. We ought always to pray. When the occasion rises and we are needing to pray, we need to pray. There are many places where we may not be able to pray publicly. They don't want public prayer in the schools any longer. That doesn't stop me from praying at the lunch table. That shouldn't stop me from saying a silent prayer to myself when I feel the need to pray. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. I want us to notice verse 2. Again, Paul exhorting the brethren to be diligent in their prayers. He says here to the Colossians in Colossians 4 and verse 2, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Continue in prayer. The word continue here means to be constantly diligent. That's what the original means. To be constantly diligent. I ought to continue. I ought to be constantly diligent in praying and be vigilant. Keep watch. Always aware. In it with thanksgiving. And of course, we all know 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. I mean, I am to be in prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We look at the word, the Greek word for without ceasing. It means uninterruptedly or without omission. That means when it comes time for me to pray, if I'm in the habit of prayer, if I'm in the habit of praying in the morning when I get up, if I'm in the habit of praying before every meal, if I'm in the habit of praying every night before I go to bed, we ought to be in a habit as Christians, by the way, of praying. But without omission. Pray without omission. Without omission. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to pray. There's a song that is sung in vacation Bible schools and in pew packers classes for little children. You may those of you that have taught little children may have sung this song before. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. There's some truth to that. Pray every day. Pray without omission. Without omission. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. If we have become slack in our prayers, might that be an indication that we do not appreciate the power of prayer, that we do not really believe that God is able to answer our prayers? I think so. That might be the case with us. Have we forgotten what a privilege it is to pray? I hope that that's not the case for any of us. I hope that we all remember at all times the privilege that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. So, let's consider then some examples of the power of prayer. One example of the power of prayer is found in 1 John 1, 7-10, if you'll be turning your Bibles over there. 1 John 1, beginning in verse 7. John, writing to Christians here, he says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. You see, the Christian can find forgiveness through the blood of Christ. In the power of prayer, we find that there is forgiveness from God. If we as Christians acknowledge our sins to the Father, John says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see, when we're baptized in water for the remission of our sins, that water, as we are told, when we come in contact with that blood of Jesus Christ that He shed upon the cross for our sins are washed away. And there are some out there that teach that when one's sins are washed away, he can never or should, and we should never, if we should strive for that, but that he can never sin again, and if he does, he's eternally lost. There's no more sacrifice for sins, and he cites Scripture for that. However, we go back to 1 John chapter 1, and we're told here, and remember who he's writing to. John is writing to Christians. He's saying if we have sin in our lives, if we have stumbled, if we have sinned. Now, remember verse 7, he says if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, what's he talking about? Excuse me. What's he talking about? It is a continual walk with Jesus Christ. A continual walk with Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, and then we sin, we stumble, we make a mistake, he says if we confess that sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin. The blood still works. That's the power of prayer. Taking those things to God. Turning it over to God. The erring Christian, as we read in Acts 8 and verse 22, is told to repent and pray. We read there of Simon the sorcerer. If you remember this account, Philip has baptized Simon. Simon has become a Christian. Simon sees Peter and John. They come down and they're laying hands on people, bestowing upon them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Simon's amazed by that. Remember, Simon's livelihood up to this point has been as a sorcerer. He's been tricking people with sleight of hand. And so he wants this power and he offers them money. If you remember, Peter rebukes him. Tells him basically that he has sinned in doing so. Excuse me, I'm still trying to get over this cold. He has sinned in doing so, and Peter tells him that he is to repent and pray to God that he may be forgiven. But there's something else here I want us to see. Turn over to Acts chapter 8. Not only do I want us to see verse 22, but I want you to notice Simon's reaction in verse number 23. Or verse 24, rather. Peter says to him, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon, notice this, and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which he has spoken come upon me." You see, the beautiful thing about being in the body of Christ is that when I sin, and I know that I've sinned, not only can I take that sin to God and ask Him to forgive that particular sin of me, but I can ask you to pray on my behalf that I might be forgiven. Isn't that a great thing? To know that I can go to my brothers and sisters in Christ and say, "Brother, pray for me. I've made a mistake. Pray for me. Ask that God may forgive me my sin. Ask that I may be strengthened so that this will no longer be a temptation for me." See, Simon had that privilege. He was able to ask Peter here, "Pray for me." As we should for of one another. Friends, when we make a mistake, we shouldn't be fearful of taking that to our brethren and asking for their prayers. As Christians, we ought to be able to look upon one another, to overlook one another's infirmities and know that we are human too, and ask for others' prayers. Simon did that. But the power of prayer, one of those is the forgiveness from God. When we look at the power of prayer, we also see that there is peace from God. There is peace from God. We look at the first, there's forgiveness from God. Don't you want the assurance of knowing that your sins are forgiven? I do. But then we look at the peace from God. Turn to Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Again, Paul writing here to the Philippians, he says here in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God." My friend, the antidote for anxiety is prayer. Notice that he says to them, don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. You ever worried about something you had no control over? I'm sure we all have. My friend, we ought not worry about things we can't control. There are many things that we can't control in this life. Why worry about them? If it's going to happen, whether we do something or not, then it's going to happen. I don't need to be worrying about that. All I need to do is pray to God that that whatever's best for me and my family and me and my brethren, that's what happens. That's what comes out of it. Don't be anxious for anything. Take it to God in prayer. I'm a fan of the phrase, and I have no idea who this originated with, but I like it. Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Take it to God in prayer. That's the antidote for anxiety. Notice the next verse, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, the Christian will find their hearts and minds guarded by the peace of God. The Christian should have a comfort that is unique to the body of Christ. You see, here's the reason that I shouldn't worry about anything as a Christian. As a member of the body of Christ, I have the hope of heaven. So it doesn't matter what happens to me in this life. I know where my destination is. I know where my salvation lies. It lies in Jesus Christ. In His body. In coming in contact with His blood. And if I've done that, then I should have a comfort that's unique to the people of God. That is unique to the body of Christ. You see, the world can't have that comfort, can they? You see, if I were to leave this parking lot, Lord willing, this doesn't happen. If I were to leave this parking lot this afternoon after we're done with these services, or this morning after we're done with our worship service this morning, and I were to get in a gruesome car accident and were to die, you know what? I'm not worried about that. I'm not anxious about that. I'm not anxious about getting killed in a car wreck. I'm not anxious about anyone doing anything to me concerning my life. Why? Why should I not worry about those things? Because I've got the peace of God. I've got salvation in Jesus Christ. And my hope and prayer is that you do too. That's the power of prayer. The peace that we receive from God. Don't you want the peace of mind and heart that surpasses understanding? Oh, notice this phrase. And the peace of God which passeth. One thing you need to know about the ETH is it conveys a meaning that it continues. It has passed and will continue to pass all understanding. That means that, my friend, when we get to the point where we think that we understand, that we've got within our grasp the peace of God, it's going to pass our understanding again. It goes beyond anything that we could possibly understand. That is the peace that we have from God. Don't you want that? That's the power of prayer. Another example of the power of prayer is the strength that we receive from God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. For this cause, Ephesians 3, beginning of verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might, by His Spirit in the inner man. Notice verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Is this miraculous? Is this a miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we're able to be strengthened miraculously? No, that's not what it's about. Friend, that's not what it's about. Being strengthened by the inner man, we cannot pray these things. Even the forgiveness of God, the peace from God, and the strength from God, we cannot pray these things and then do nothing and sit idly by. What do I do to receive strength from God? I get into His Word. I get into His mind. ask Him to provide a way through His providence. Whatever the case may be. I may think of it like this. From where do I draw my strength? Where does my strength lie? Where does your strength lie? It may be your family. It may be your wife. It may be your children. That may be your strength. Those may be the people that are holding you up when you get down. It may be your friends. Or in order for you to feel stronger, it may take something a little more than just family, friends, children, mother, father, grandfather, grandmother. It may take a little bit more. It may take getting into His Word, which we ought to do anyway. Singing praises to His name. I hope that strengthens us. The power of prayer. Prayer strengthens us, doesn't it? It should. We should pray for strength from God, definitely. I always feel better, and I'm sure that you do too. When I take things to God in prayer, I feel stronger. Pray for strength. That's the power of prayer. When we need to be strong, Christians can likewise. Just as Paul was doing here on their behalf, Christians can likewise pray for themselves for strength. Don't you want the power that is beyond our comprehension? The strength from God. And we can draw that from one another. The power of prayer. Next, we have the opportunity from God. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 5, we see that Paul realized that God provided him opportunity to teach others. There were doors opened unto him. He says as much in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. He thanks God for the doors that were opened to him to preach the gospel. Friends, there are doors all around us. Some of them are standing wide open. Some of them may be closed, but they're unlocked. Others are cracked a tiny bit. The question is, are we looking for them? Are we looking for those doors? It may be that we just don't see them. Then we can take it to God in prayer. Ask Him for the opportunity to teach someone else about the Word of God. And a door will be opened. Somehow, some way, He'll open a door for us. Colossians 4 and verse 3. Paul is thanking God in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians for those opportunities that he's had. In Colossians 4 and verse 3, he asked the Colossians to pray on his behalf that he might continue to have those opportunities. We ought to do the same with one another. Pray that we all have the opportunity to teach the Word of God, to bring someone else to Christ. And my friend, if you've never had a hand in teaching someone the gospel of Christ, then you're missing something. There's not a greater feeling in this world than to know that you had a hand in bringing someone to Jesus Christ. So let's pray for the opportunity to teach someone. And God will open that door. That's the power of prayer. Don't you want the Lord to give you that opportunity? I hope that you do. But there's also boldness from God. The power of prayer. We see boldness. When the apostles needed boldness, Acts chapter 4, they prayed and God delivered. They were being persecuted. They were being threatened with prison. They were being threatened with beatings. And so they prayed to God. They took it to God in prayer. And then they were able to go out and proclaim the Word of God boldly. Now, my friend, while we will not be filled by the Holy Spirit as were the apostles, we can still pray for boldness. We can still pray that we will find the strength to talk to someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ, even when it's not popular. Even when it may cost us our families or our friends. When Paul needed boldness, he asked for prayers in his behalf, Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. He asked the Ephesian brethren there, Paul being in prison, he asked them, pray that I might speak with boldness. It may be that in our workplace or within our families or at school, whatever the case may be, maybe we're not as bold as we ought to be. Take it to God in prayer. Try to find within you the boldness that you need to speak to others about Jesus Christ. Chances are you can find it on your knees. That's the power of prayer. But then there's wisdom to be gained. Now, wisdom is not knowledge, but insight that makes the best use of the knowledge one has. When Solomon was told by God, I will grant you one thing, whatever it is that you ask of me, you've got it. Solomon asked for wisdom. Wisest man to ever live. My friend, we too can ask for wisdom. We too can ask for wisdom from God. The Christian is promised wisdom through prayer without doubt, James 1, 5 through 8. Let him ask for wisdom, James says. Don't you want the wisdom that comes from above? Don't you want that? That's the power of prayer. And nothing is miraculous going to happen to make us one wise or to do this or do that. That's not going to happen miraculously. What's it going to take on my part? Well, first of all, pray, of course. But then put it into practice. But then there's healing from God. Don't we pray for those that are sick? We do, don't we? We pray for those that are ailing, those that have diseases, whatever the case may be. God does not work miraculously in this world today. Man, I'm having trouble with my words. He's not going to do that miraculously. But we're told in James chapter 5, 14 and 15 that if one is sick, he is to call for the elders to pray for him. We're told in verse 16 of James chapter 5 that those who have confessed, or those who have sinned should confess, and we should pray for one another. James also tells us that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So how is me praying for the sick going to help them if God is not going to do so miraculously today? My friend, it may be that I have a rare disease. And it may be that there's only one doctor in the world that knows how to treat that said disease. I don't have the money to get to him. How can you, praying on my behalf, help me? Well, if God sees fit, there will be channels open. It may be that I am blessed to, which I know that I am, to have faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, but that they see fit to make donations on my behalf to help me get to that doctor. Wouldn't you say then that that my prayers and your prayers have been answered? I think so. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We should pray for the sick. We should always pray for the sick, that the doctors maybe, they up to this point have not been able to figure out how to treat whatever disease someone may have. But maybe, just maybe, they'll go and read some research that some other doctor has done and said that they found an effective cure, an effective treatment for that disease. Providence of God, perhaps, that led that doctor to read that. Maybe he just thought of something, or power of prayer. Friend, you see, we don't know how God does these things. We don't know how God works in this world. But we know that it's not miraculous, but things are going to happen if we will but take it to God in prayer. That's the power of prayer. Don't you want the aid of God whenever in need of physical or spiritual healing? I do. So let's pray for the sick. Let's pray for one another. But then finally, we see in the power of prayer that there is tranquility from God. The Scriptures proclaim that God has ultimate control over the nations. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17, when you have Nebuchadnezzar, he goes out on his balcony, he looks out over Babylon there in his palace. You remember what Nebuchadnezzar said? He said, "Look at this great Babylon which I have built." Remember what Daniel told him? Daniel essentially told him that you have this place because God put you there. See, God works in the kingdoms of men. Romans 13, 1 through 7 tells us that as well. So we ought to pray for our rulers that we may lead a quiet or tranquil life, as the ASV says, and peaceable life. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. We ought to pray for our president. We ought to pray for our leaders in Washington. We ought to pray for leaders worldwide, that the Christians living there may lead peaceable and tranquil lives. That's the power of prayer. We'll be putting away your Bible, taking out your songbook, ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. My friend, the power of prayer can indeed be a blessing. The power of prayer can be a blessing to the one who prays in faith. The power of prayer can be a blessing for those for whom prayers are offered. And there is help in the time of need from God. We have a wonderful high priest, Jesus Christ, who understands our problems. As we read in our Bible class hour this morning, he is one that has been touched with our infirmities. He knows what we have been through in this life. Thus, we can at any time approach God boldly in prayer to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Don't you want mercy? Don't you want grace whenever needed for yourself and for others? That's the power of prayer. Indeed, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5 and verse 16. New King James Version says avails much. The New American Standard says can accomplish much. The English Standard says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man has great power. You get the message? If such is true of one righteous man, how about the prayers of many righteous? How about the prayers of those throughout the brotherhood? You know, we've got a man on our prayer list right now by the name of Jim Murrow. You don't even know who he is, but he's a brother in Christ. And you've been praying for him if you've been paying attention to our prayer list. He lives in Philadelphia, Mississippi. There are times that we pray for our brethren that are in China or scattered throughout the world. Never met them. Don't even know their names. And friends, they're praying for you. That's the power of prayer. Do we believe? That's a question we must ask ourselves. Do we believe in the power of prayer? I hope that we do. And if that's the case, then let us pray always. Let us continue earnestly in prayer, yes. Let us pray without ceasing. But not all have the privilege of the power of prayer. That'll be our lesson next week, the privilege of prayer. My friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Lord's church, as we will discuss next week, if you're not a member of the Lord's body, if you're not a part of His body, then my friend, you don't have that privilege. Your prayers aren't being heard. If you're here this morning and not a member of the Lord's body, if you have not come in contact with His blood through baptism, will you do that today? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? Will you repent of your sin? Will you confess His name before men? And then be baptized. Come in contact with His blood for the remission of those sins. Will you do that this morning? Are you here this morning and an erring child of God? Have you fallen away? Will you come home? If you have a need, will you come now while we stand and while we sing?